God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to Disciples View. So I wanted to just tell you something real quick before we dig into the news. I had an opportunity yesterday to play. When was the last time you as an adult played? Now, this is part of a workout. It's part of my regime in getting ready to go to SEAL Fit, which I will try to make as much play as possible in an effort to survive and thrive. Being awake for 50 hours and exercising is going to be a challenge, and I intend to make as much fun of it as possible. Yesterday, my coach, who I've gotten to know over a number of years, she and her husband, allowed me to go down to the park. Well, she took me down. It was a surprise workout. And it happened that her kids were in attendance. It doesn't happen very often. It just, they needed a place to be, and they were with mom at work. And I can't tell you how much of a lift that was. It was still a hard workout. And coach made me do some things that I wasn't sure I could do. We used the jungle gym. And there's one of those bridges that goes across the jungle gym. You know, kids walk up the stairs, or they go up the ladder, and then there's that bridge. And they've got those parallel bars guarding the kids so they don't jump or fall off the bridge. So coach had me pull myself up on those and then put my legs up and walk up to the bridge, you know, lift myself over the bridge. And that was part of it. And what was so much fun is her little boy saying, Todd, go Todd, go Todd, go Todd, and engaging in that. And then he said, Mom, you do it. I knew coach could do that with one hand. And she did, and he got the biggest thrill out of it. Then he said, watch, I can pick mom up. And I said, oh, no, it's okay with mom. And so coach let him do that. And we got to play. I felt like I was playing. It was a relief. It was also such fun to see kids of that age. I don't get to do that enough. I work with middle school kids, and I love it, and it's an absolute blessing for me to work with middle school kids and to learn from them and to see God work in their lives. But there really is some godly magic about kids of that age, 7 through 12, and it energizes me. My dad was a social worker. My mom was a teacher. And maybe I get that genetically. Maybe that's part of how God designed our family. But when was the last time you just played? If you haven't done that in a while, can I suggest that you find a way to do that? I think that we don't spend enough time. And play, to me, can't mean sitting. I mean, you can play games. Don't get me wrong. My family and I play a vicious game of Scrabble. And by vicious, I don't mean we cheat. We don't yell at each other. But man, we will go down to the last letter. My wife is famous for this. My wife will study a Scrabble board for an hour if we let her. I mean, we've often said, my daughter and I, we should play a form of speed Scrabble. But my wife will find ways to make words that just appear out of nowhere. But to me, play means being physical. That's me. And I do suggest, if you haven't done that in a while, please find a way to do that, because we need these reliefs. Right? The physical world around us is, well, it's an indicator of what God wanted us to be. It's a reminder sometimes for me of what the new heaven and the new earth will be. I know that we're going to have jobs, and I know that the Lord will have us work in the new heaven and the new earth. But with all that eternity, all eternity, why not make a goal in the new heaven and the new earth? Lord, one day I want to climb that mountain. Okay. What do you mean one day? There is no day. There's no night. I am the sun. I look forward to the new heaven and the new earth. Maybe too much. You ever find yourself looking forward to it? Maybe too much. Maybe you want it too much. You know, we're given life as a gift. It's a rude thing to say to God, I don't want the gift. It's a risky thing. And yet I sometimes can't help myself of thinking what it's going to be like to walk with him. And if we try to hurry that along, well, we're sinning. And we're not allowing God to do what he intends to do with our time here and the doors that he intends to open and just have just appear before us. But honestly, do you ever think, Man, I'm anxious. I want the Lord Jesus to come. I find myself saying that more and more often. And actually, I'll tell you this, and we'll get into the news. I am confused by really Bible-believing, Jesus-following, Jesus-knowing Christians who fear death. I used to be a necrophobiac. I mean, if I thought of the day I died, I would go into a verified panic attack, heart palpitations, hitting myself in the face, trying to break out of it. I can't, for the life of me, I can't conjure those concerns anymore. And maybe it's just because given the line of work that God's assigned me, I have to spend some time in ugliness. And let's dig into the ugliness. That's one of the things we do here, but we try to put God at the center. This soundbite here, this is yet another reason why I believe the attempt on President Trump's life was allowed, maybe invited, and God forbid, may have been another JFK-type assassination attempt by our own government.
We were supposed to get a face-to-face briefing with the Secret Service snipers whenever they arrived, and that never happened. So I think that was probably a pivotal point where I started thinking things were wrong, because that never happened, and we had no communication with the Secret Service.
You had no communication with the Secret Service at all on that Saturday?
Not until after the shooting.
And by then?
It was too late.
That was members of the SWAT team for Butler, Pennsylvania. Sometimes if you choose not to speak to somebody, there's a reason for that. Sometimes you choose to contain information. That in and of itself is not an indicator that this was planned and allowed to happen. But there is nothing you would have done differently if you wanted plausible deniability. Plausible deniability is a DC phrase. It's used in some of the ways this is done. Support teams for very important, incredibly important, massively important, hugely important people like senators who are far more important than you and me. Sometimes their support teams will do something illegal outside of the view of the principal so that the principal can have legitimate deniability to say, I had no idea that was going on. And the staff can say he had no idea or she had no idea what was going on. Plausible deniability. Let's just go through some things. Number one, 90 minutes. At the 90-minute point, police officers began calling out the alarm. One police officer said in a text chat, I believe, a text group, hey, just FYI, this young guy just tailgated us, just followed us in. Around, I think it was, well, beyond the 90-minute point, maybe around the 60-minute point, officers began to say, hey, that same guy who followed us in, he's walking around the buildings. He appears to be casing the buildings. Is anyone going to talk to him? And at one point, one of the cops said, one of the local cops, SWAT officer said, hey, send the uniform over to go have the conversation. At about the 30-minute point or so, an officer said, this guy is using a rangefinder and pointing it at the stage. There is one reason you use a rangefinder if you are a shooter, and that is to know exactly how far away the target is and to adjust your scope accordingly. Only reason. Still nothing done. Still no one went to President Trump and said, hey, sir, we're going to have to stall this thing. At about the 20-minute point, this guy got up on the roof, and according to reporting I've read from Benny Johnson, Benny does a podcast, it's very well viewed. He is a DC-based political commentator, young guy, super, super smart. According to Benny's sources, the three Secret Service agents in the building adjacent to the roof, where the shooter would ultimately climb and lay down, here's what happened. One guy went home sick. I'm sorry, you're on a detail guarding a former president and presidential candidate in an open-air setting, and you're sick, so you go home? No. Not unless you are spewing blood. You don't, but he did. A second agent needed to go to the bathroom, so he left the building and forgot his card key and couldn't get back in. So the third agent left to went down to go down and get his colleague, and the roof was left open. Does anyone hear in that the Jeffrey Epstein prison guards who fell asleep and the cameras that didn't work and the 911 call that was erased? Does anyone hear that? Now, none of this would have mattered if the sniper team had been up on the water tower, the single highest point by far in that entire complex. It would have a view of everything. But why do that? It's just standing operating procedure 101. It is sniper 101. It is counter sniper 101. It is military tactic 101. Seize the high ground. But they didn't. Now, police had the building on which the shooter lay surrounded for well over a minute before the shooter fired. It was about 120 times more seconds than they needed to get President Trump off the stage. This is video footage of officers
surrounding this whole entire building right now.
The officers surrounding the building. These people continue to film.
There's something going on in this building. There's somebody in this building.
That's a 30-second version of a much, much longer video. If you have police officers who've determined that the danger is so imminent that they have shooed the public away, that they have unholstered their weapons, that they are surrounding a building on which someone has placed themselves laying down, and you allow the principal, in that case, President Trump, to take the stage, you are allowing an assassination attempt. I'm not blaming the local cops. I don't think the local cops would have any reason to do that. Maybe they were paid off. Maybe this is pure incompetence, but here's the thing about incompetence. Incompetent bakers sometimes make great cakes. They get lucky. There is not one point of competence in this entire affair. There's not one competent decision made, not a single one, not even the competency of having a single communication channel. My daughter said to me, "What do you think about the assassination?" My daughter is 19. I told her, my instinct, I don't know this, but my instinct was it was a planned hit. They let one through. I think we'll come to see, and they'll never admit it, but I think we'll come to see verify access between the FBI and this would-have-been killer. I believe we have the signals of that now. I believe we see the residue of evidence of that now. But let me ask you this. Did the Department of Homeland Security succeed in finding officers who would go cut the locks off of a gate to welcome illegal immigrants into the country? The answer is yes. Did the FBI find people who would fake a kidnapping? Yes, they did. Agents and informants. Did the FBI admit that? No, still haven't. Even though there's been people exonerated because of what the FBI did. Did public health authorities lie openly to our face about the injections and the masks and the lockdowns? Yes. Have they admitted it? Yeah, very quietly. They finally have. When the government is fallen, and ours is, how hard is it to find fallen people who will continue the fall? I'm proud to say that there are Republicans who refuse to let this go. And I don't think anything will come of it, because Democrats, the party of government, can't possibly stand to have government questioned at this level. And God forbid, and I mean it, they mean desire and plan to take another run at it. After all, the Secret Service said to President Trump, don't do outside rallies. Do small rallies, like Kamala Harris can have. Speaking of Kamala, there's another side to her, a dad whose son interned for her. That next, I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I am astonished. I gotta admit, I am astonished that I'm still getting pushback from people who say, and I believe they're Christians, about my position that the RNC ought not feature prayers to false gods. I'll talk about this more tomorrow because I don't want to become distracted today. But it is, I have to admit, it's becoming emotionally challenging for me. Truly, it is. If we are Christians and we believe God is real, the God of the Bible, the Holy Trinity, one God expressed in three persons with three separate roles. And that God said, "You shall worship no gods but me." How can we have any partnership with a group that decides not just to allow, that's a different matter, to plan, feature, and promote prayers to false gods? How can we have that partnership? I believe you have to choose. Wait, God said, don't do that. There is no asterisk. It didn't say, unless it's a tight political race and you need to pander to people. I'll spend more time on this tomorrow because it has been almost 2 weeks since I took this position, and the emails, the comments on my YouTube page, none of that has stopped. Incidentally, if you haven't seen my YouTube account, it's God is blessing this. The number of young people we are reaching who have never heard the elementary teachings of the gospel. For instance, someone wrote to me and said, wait, what do you mean? What do you mean eternity apart from God? God is in us. We can never be apart from God. And for me to say, wait, there's a new heaven and a new earth. That's where the people who've accepted the Lord Jesus will spend eternity. And then there is hell. That's where people who haven't accepted the Lord Jesus, that's apart from God. You're choosing that. They had never, wait, so God is not within, you don't have God within you now. That person had never heard this and was drawn in by a 60-second YouTube video. 60 seconds. Got 10,000 views in about an hour, and it was simply me praying for Joe Biden, a man through whom great evil is done. I think Joe Biden has caused more evil in 3 years, or allowed it to be done through his demented mind, than perhaps even Barack Hussein Obama, who caused it, and I think is still causing it. If you want to take a look at our YouTube channel and how it's working in the lives of young people, it is youtube.com/@TheToddHermanShow, youtube.com/@TheToddHermanShow. There is another side to Kamala Harris. I guess it shouldn't shock us. But the way this is being presented is, it's diplomatic, one would suppose. It comes from theunion.com. The writer of the piece is a guy named Terry McCater. And Terry McCater strikes me as kind of a center-left type guy. He's a journalist. He is a member of the Union editorial board. And he writes this piece. It's a fairly short piece, but let's listen to it together. And let me see if this strikes a chord with any of you. As many of you know, my family had some long political roots. My dad, Eugene McCater, was a San Francisco supervisor and state senator until his untimely death at the age of 51. I pursued the educational political route, was elected Nevada County Superintendent of Schools for 6 4-year terms. Our son, Gregory, loves politics, thought it might also be his passion. A few years ago, I assisted him in securing a non-paid internship with Senator Dianne Feinstein in her office in San Francisco. Feinstein's office wasn't able to have Gregory start in June, but told him that then Attorney General Kamala Harris was looking for summer interns. Let's pause. Now, Dianne Feinstein, as you know, was busily working with Chinese spies. She was. Her driver was a Chinese spy, her main driver. And at the same time, trying to take away our guns, at the same time as she was guarded by many, many guns. So the choice between Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris is sort of a Sophie's choice. Back to this man's piece. Well, I have nothing against now Senator Harris, as she's a good orator and has done some fine things while holding elective office. I believe, however, how she treats her staff is as important as her individual legislative accomplishments. A person's character is probably one of the most important attributes of someone wanting to obtain the office of president. Presidential candidate and U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar has drawn scrutiny for her berating treatment of her staff. This particular flaw by elected officials in dealing with common courtesy and respect toward staff is something for which most people in this country have little tolerance. Sure, the job is stressful. We've all dealt with an angry boss in our lives. But there is another side of Kamala Harris, which the general public does not know. He writes here about his son's experience. Gregory had an eye-opening experience in Kamala Harris's office that none of us expected. For his sake, the month could not pass quickly enough. Needless to say, he was delighted to work in Feinstein's office for the rest of the summer. Four short episodes I'd like to share of his month-long internship for Kamala Harris. Senator Harris throws around F-bombs and other profanity consistently in berating of staff and others. Her staff is in complete fear of her as she uses profanity throughout the day. Pause. Politics is a world of cussing. It is. It's a world of cussing. I've worked there. I've worked in D.C. I'm ashamed to say that when I worked in D.C., I started to curse again. It happened to me. I had to disabuse myself of it when I came back with the help of God. Back to the piece. As Attorney General, Senator Harris instructed her entire staff to stand every morning as she entered the office and say, "Good morning, General." Wow. The ego. The worship. Kamala Harris strikes me as a person who would like to be worshipped. Who else wanted to be worshipped when he ought not have been? Back to the piece. Never once during the month-long internship did Harris introduce herself to our son, as he was only in office with 20 paid employees, and staff was too intimidated by her to introduce him. The only acknowledgement was a form letter of thanks signed by Harris given to him on his last day of service. Then there's this. Gregory was also given instructions to never address Harris, nor look her in the eye, as that privilege was allowed only to senior staff members. What was it that the Lord Jesus told us about lording power? Do not lord your power over others, for that is what the Gentiles do. Weren't we told that Kamala Harris, her life is defined by her Christian faith? Wasn't that one of the myths that they have tried to peddle out about Kamala Harris? Does any of this, any of it, sound like someone who has a even small slice of humility? This gentleman's son, Gregory, about whom this is written, his experience, this man, as part of his closing statement is to say this: "I had Gregory read this piece before submitting it, and he's willing to put his own integrity on the line because the truth is important to him. In fact, integrity and character are still virtues that can and should be upheld in our politicians and politics. We just haven't seen them in a while." I assure you, and you probably have already said this to yourself, if that piece had been about Donald Trump, .. it's almost cliche to say it. And yet it's true. Kamala Harris has lost black staff. She has lost non-black staff. She's lost young staff. And that rule, that don't look her in the eye, Oprah Winfrey has the same rule, according to my dearest friend, lifelong friend, who got to go to Oprah University because over a period of about 3 years, he worked to close a deal between Oprah's company and Microsoft. But when Microsoft became a partner, my dear friend had to go to Oprah University to learn you are never to look Oprah in the eye. If she passes you into the hallway, you are to avert your eyes. The explanation was that everybody wants to see Oprah. Everybody's so taken in by her. Everybody wants her time, and it's exhausting for her. Perhaps it is. Maybe the rule could be no more than a wave. She's busy. She would like to spend time with everybody. She's a compassionate woman. But that was not the way the rules communicated. Do not make eye contact with her. The great act that is Kamala Harris, the great con that is Kamala Harris, the great big lie that is Kamala Harris, can be spoken of and illustrated in so many ways. And I just ask you this. What was the first lie? the first lie ever told. Wait, did God say you can't eat from these plants? The serpent, Satan embodies the serpent at that point, and Eve said, no, we can eat of the plants, just not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if we eat that, we'll die. Oh, surely you won't die. You'll just be like God. You know all the things God knows. That's why he doesn't want you eating from him. You won't die. Kamala Harris wants to be treated like a god. Good morning, Mrs. President, Madam President. Good morning, General. When she walks into the office place. The White House was actually forced to admit the kids watching Kamala Harris pretend to care about space exploration were paid actors.
I just love the idea of exploring the unknown. And then there's other things that we just haven't figured out or discovered yet.
You guys are going to see. You're going to literally see the craters on the moon with your own eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
With your own eyes, I'm telling you, it is going to be unbelievable. Or without.
Do you think that Kamala Harris knew those were child actors? They flew the kids back to the Naval Observatory, they being YouTube. Paid to have those kids fly back to the Naval Observatory to sit on couches around the great, great lady, who's a kind lady. No, she's playing the role of a kind lady. See, one of the things I prefer about President Trump is that he has four or five different personalities. There's the professional wrestling Trump. There's the quiet Trump when he's meeting with people one-on-one. But there is no lie about who he is. He's quieter in some settings. He is more self-effacing in others. That's not Kamala Harris. Those were child actors. That was pretend. It was all staged. Who was the first person in history to use the word actor in describing someone pretending to be who they aren't in real life? Our Lord, Jesus Christ, hypocrite. Meant actor. The Lord Jesus used it with the Pharisees. You hypocrites, you actors, you whitewashed tombs. You're not representing God. I know God because I am God and he is me and he is the Father and I'm in the role of the Son. I tie back the lie that is Kamala Harris to the original lie predicated upon pride. Satan said, non servium, I will not serve. I will create my own heaven and earth. I'll have my best life now. And he made that decision. Kamala Harris has made the decision to act, to surround herself with pretense, and of course, with the Mockingbird Media there to help her. PBS pretends in its terrifying. It's terrifying Christian nationalism to say kids need moms and dads.
Some of these proposals, there really is an explicitly Christian tone or Christian nationalist tone in their mandate for leadership. For example, in plans for the Department of Health and Human Services, it emphasizes maintaining a, quote, biblically based definition of marriage and family. As it states, for the sake of child well-being, programs should affirm that children require and deserve both the love and nurturing of a mother and the play and protection of a father. Okay, that is a point of view, but we have a very long established principle here of avoiding the establishment of kind of a state religion. How would this pass muster in the courts? I mean, the courts have still upheld these long-held principles that suggest that you cannot advantage one religious view over others. How do they get around that?
Get around it? A person is made through sexual contact between a man and a woman. That person's being, their DNA, that person's personality traits and biological traits is a result of a male-female interaction. If that person does not have a right to know who those people are, does that person have a right to a society that looks at evidence? And the evidence is this. Kids who grow up in intact households, and if you want to call it yin and yang, be my guest. The yin and yang of male and female do better than kids who do not grow up. Why do I need to cast this in faith when I can cast it in evidence? Why do I need God's word? Well, because it never returns void, because that's how I'm animated, because that's my priority above what the world says, but I don't need it. Because God's word is truth, because God himself is truth. So we can simply backward engineer it. Hey, what happens to boys who grow up in homes without fathers? They're much more likely to fall into crime and disorder and depression and anger issues. What happens to girls in homes without fathers? They're much more likely to be sexual at an early age, to be promiscuous and seeking male love. What happens then? Depression, anxiety, cutting. We have a society to protect and laws that advantage kids. Protect the least of these. You want to call them marginalized? There's no more marginalized being than an infant in the womb, second only to a baby recently born. We could do it that way. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back on The Disciples View. Thanks for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I want to expand a bit coming up on that topic I addressed of, if you know, I assume that most of us are adults. I know families listen to this, praise God. But if you've not played in a while, I really want to expand on that. And I want to compare it to the new heaven and the new earth and the childlike fascination that we are called to have, to open our hearts as children, to still be fascinated and in a sense of awe at God and what God does and who God is and the majesty. And I'll start it off by this story I'll tell you about. I made this incredible plan to take my daughter to the zoo, and that became a ritual for us. We had some of the greatest memories, and she affirms this to this day. She's 19. She remembers that and can feel those moments to this day. But I had this plan, taking her to the zoo for the first time. And man, she was going to be amazed by the lions and the big hippos. And I got it arranged that we could feed giraffes. And it was going to make an impact. And then the child in her came out. I can't wait to share that with you. We'll get to that. A quick email before we get into the Tower of Babbling. This just came in. This is Doug in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Dear Todd, I'm listening to your AFR program, which I've grown to adore. I wanted to just say to you about the RNC. It's a political group, Todd. It is not a church. It has to defend free speech. To say that they should ban prayers to foreign gods is to say that they cannot defend free speech. Please get this through your head. We have a country to save. I love you, I love the word, but the RNC is a political group. It cannot be treated as a church. It has to defend free speech. Love your program, love AFR. Thank you for putting God at the center of this. We agree on most things. Doug from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. My dear brother, I love you. I thank you for listening to AFR. You're part of the great, great, great support base. This network cannot exist without you. We have an audience of one, God Almighty, and a family of many, and what a pleasure to have you at the heart of that family. My dear friend, would you allow people to come into your home and to pray to a foreign God with your kids? Not if you love the God of the Bible. Your home is a private place. You control access to it. You would not be hampering anybody's free speech by saying, you can speak whatever you want, not in my home. Not in my home. The RNC is, in fact, a private group. And you can defend free speech and not have that speech around you. I'm going to guess, Doug, that you would not allow in your home a couple of adults who use the F word and terrible pornography, or I mean, terrible pornographic language around your kids. You wouldn't. You're too good of a man. Too godly. If the RNC had a bunch of pornography or had a lot of cursing, would we be upset about that? Kamala Harris recently spoke at a rally, and the musical, if you want to call it music, act that warmed up for her is a woman who calls herself Megan Thee Stallion. There is not a possible way for me to describe the vividly pornographic, biologically gross detail of the song that preceded Kamala Harris going on stage. I can tell you that it denigrates the female body in ways profound and sickening. If we'd seen that at the RNC, all of us would have been saying, what are you doing? The words of that song, all of us. I understand your defense of free speech. I right now am using the free speech rights I have as created by God, as protected in our Constitution and Bill of Rights, specifically the First Amendment. And anytime AFR wanted to, they could come and say, hey, that's it, Todd. No more. They wouldn't be violating my free speech rights. This is a network that the Wildman family has been given to steward for God. They're the bosses. There's a series of bosses. Jonathan is a boss. There's a series of bosses there. They are the authorities. I work for them and at their pleasure. So they wouldn't be violating my free speech rights. Now, I won't work at a network that comes along and is always policing my speech or says, you can't express this opinion. But I work at a network where God is the boss, ultimately. We answer to the Bible. The RNC is a political group. You are right. And they may win a victory. But a victory for what? At the cost of what? The souls of the people who bowed their heads and prayed to false gods. The RNC could have in its platform and should free speech for everybody. And I believe they do. The Democrats are openly anti-speech. They openly want to destroy speech, particularly Christian speech. The RNC can stand with free speech and say, and here, we're either not going to have prayers or we're going to pray to the Christian God, the one true God. I cannot have a partnership with a group that does otherwise. Can you? Love you, Doug. Appreciate the notes. Never been to Fort Lauderdale. It's a place I need to get to. All right, on to the program. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
I can imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been, you know? What can be unburdened by what has been. There are those who are unable to see what can be. But there are many more who are able to see what can be unburdened by what has been.
Hey, it's a new Kamala Harris. I love it. Thank you, guys. Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling, almost always three sound bites. Kamala Harris is infamous for trying to make the inane sound important.
And we were all doing a tour of the library here and talking about the significance of the passage of time. Right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time in terms of what we need to do to lay these wires, what we need to do to create these jobs.
The significance of the passage of time. Do you honestly believe that there was some conversation where they're saying, you know, the passage of time is a very significant thing? No, it's another act. It's an attempt to add varnish to the idea that Kamala's a deep thinker. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Now, this is a challenge. Can anyone conjure any idea what Kamala Harris is actually talking about here?
Have you met the GOP leader?
I am meeting with a lot of folks, and the work that we have begun is the work that is going to be ongoing. There is no question, and I said this from the very beginning, that our approach to this issue has to be with a commitment to a long-term investment, and it has to be a commitment to consistency.
Anything? A guess? Bueller? Anybody?
It was about the border. Kamala Harris standing there with impeached and disgraced DHS head, Mayorkas. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. It's very clear what Kamala Harris is talking about here.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking.
But now we hear, wait, no, I'm not going to ban fracking. From the same lady who had a YouTube audience of kids paid to fly out to the Naval Observatory to surround the great lady as she talked about how much she loves space. Was it the Lord Jesus, I said earlier, the first to use the word hypocrite, which meant actor, in application for people who are performing acts like that? And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
A silent mouth is sweet to hear.
On a Disciple's View.
I shared with you earlier the opportunity I had to be around a friend's kids and during a workout, and how cool it was to have a little boy, 7 years old, cheering me on. Go, Todd. Go, Todd. Todd, Todd, Todd. And it's not like, I never want to hear that in a gym environment from adults. I really don't actually like that. There are some time to time in the gym environment where someone might say, you got this, one set to go, or simple things like that to help. But I don't like having my name chanted, but for some reason to have a little boy do it, little boy of a friend, it added to the play environment. And yeah, doing a workout on a playground set and challenging myself as I described, it was a hard workout, but it was made so much more fun, and laughing with the little boy as he was kind of making fun of, oh, I can bear crawl faster than you. You think? You'll weigh 40 pounds and I'm wearing a big pack on my back. And he laughed and laughed, but he was so supportive. And his sister, the quiet one, coming to me and saying, do you know about the moose? Whoa, the moose. See, we're in North Idaho and this park has moose in it. Not real moose, but these statues of moose. I didn't know that this came from a book, famous book. She got to teach me something. And this goes to me, as I mentioned earlier, about the new heaven and the new earth and getting ready for that. We are to be like little children in awe of what Father God creates. We need to be able to channel that. And as I sat back and thought about my day yesterday, I didn't drop to my knees and say, thank you, Lord, for little children. Thank you for the joy of that. Thank you for the laughter I got, the sense of purity. If you haven't played in a while, particularly with little kids, can I invite you to find a way to do that? I think it connects us back to the awe and the joy that God wants us to have. You look at an ocean. You take a little kid to an ocean, and I remember taking my daughter to the ocean, and she would come to me and say, Dad, look at this shell. Oh, honey, that's a huge, it's the biggest shell. That sense of joy. Used to make an effort to take my daughter to the zoo as often as possible because she dearly loves animals. And my first time I took her to the zoo, I remember the plan. I even got out the map. Here's how we're going to do this. We're going to make sure, let's see, okay, we're going to prioritize here the lion because the roar is so dramatic, and the hippos because you can get up right up close. And I know that on this day I read, we can go feed the giraffes. And man, I had it programmed. So we're going through the zoo, and sure enough, the lion roared. And I said, honey, that's the lion. Oh, so pretty. And then this lion, have you ever heard a lion do the thing where it doesn't roar, but it goes, pow! And it just resonates through the zoo. That's the lion making that sound. Oh, he's so handsome. We went and saw the hippos. And when they went underwater, my daughter said, do they have stuff to breathe down there? No, they hold their breath. They're very good at it. Oh, do they know they're good at it? That's a good question. I don't know if they know they're good at it. Then we got to feed the giraffes. And the giraffe, I don't know if you've ever fed a giraffe, but they have long purple tongues. God designed their tongues. They're miraculous tongues. Incidentally, do you know there's no transitional species to the giraffe? Another failing of Darwin. There's only giraffes with long necks. So the tongue comes out. My daughter turns to me and says, purple. And I thought this was their greatest success. We went to go have lunch right across from the lions because I knew when they fed the lions. I looked into this, man. Here's the lion, the magnificent king of the jungle, coming down to eat. This is a day where they give them, it was half a deer. This is before my daughter was a vegan. It would have traumatized her later. But it's half a deer, and the lion's coming down, and I can't wait for my little girl to see the lion, and here's what I get. Dad, dad, squirrel, squirrel. Oh, honey, the lion. No, dad, the squirrel's right here. It's, look, there's a squirrel. Look how beautiful he is. He likes me, but wait, the, oh, the adult plan. A simple squirrel. We had him at home. God blessed us with a property where we had squirrels all the time, but not that squirrel. She discovered it, not me. And true enough, the squirrel was eating from her hand. I was nervous. I don't want her to get rabies. Careful with the squirrel. And he was standing up on his hind legs. And in fact, he did look at her. And yeah, there was the lion eating in the background. I never got to watch it. Because for just about 10 minutes, I was in awe of my little girl's soul and appreciation for the beauty of the common blessings. She didn't think of it that way. I wasn't discipled. I didn't think of it that way. I definitely was aware of the magnificence of God's creation. To this moment, my daughter cherishes squirrels because she cherishes that moment. We need to be able to access in ourselves that sense of awe. You opened your eyes this morning to a world kept in place by 1 degree, a half a degree. If this earth fell off its axis a tenth of a degree, it would all fall apart. If the aggregate temperature changed in the ways that the catastrophists say, it would all fall apart. If the mix of oxygen, carbon dioxide, were to change by about 5%, it all falls apart. Let's have some awe at even the common blessings, a childlike awe. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations until God decides you and I can speak again together. May the peace of God that transcends all understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This is Ben, A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.